Hey guys, it's Joey and Ray, and I am super excited to be bringing you season 3 of A Human Connection. And just like all the other seasons, we're going to be bringing to you some of the most influential people in this industry, some people that I have followed and have mentored me along my 30 plus year career in this business. So hope you join along with us so we laugh and we learn along the way. Today, I am super excited to have a lifelong friend, I feel like, for many, many years. We'll dig into our history together here in a minute, but would love to introduce you to my friend. This is Shanna Clark. She is president of MAS and a proud sister of Integrity, managing partner of ours as well. So welcome, Shanna.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, I'm super excited. There's a lot of interweavings that we have over the course of our career. But why don't, for anybody that's not familiar with Shanna, why don't you give us just a quick little bio background, where you started and how you got to where you are?
All right. Well, let's see. I started in the insurance business about 27 years ago. I was working for my father-in-law. He had an agency in Plano, Texas. I was working with him and decided at that point, hey, you know what? I think I might want to get my license and learn a little bit more about the insurance business and, just continue to work alongside him and see how everything goes. And then one of our reps from United Healthcare on the group side, he used to visit us at least once a month, and he came in one day and he said, hey, have you ever thought about selling insurance? And I said, well, you know, I mean, that's why I got my insurance license here, is, you know, just kind of work alongside Buck. And he said, well, you know, we're United is rolling out a new product, and I think that you would be great. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know? And just to learn more about it, it was the Medicare Advantage plan or Medicare Complete at that time. I said, well, you know what the heck, I'll go and interview. I don't have any sales experience, but you know, and I was newly licensed, but I said, you know, I'm willing to learn and take a chance if they're willing to take a chance. So I went down and interviewed and went through the whole process, and they hired me. So that was in 1996, and I've been doing it ever since.
In some form or fashion,
yeah.
And on the carrier side, the FMO side, you've been an agent. So I would think in your current role, that has to help you have empathy and understanding for all those things that you deal with. You deal with carriers, you deal with agents, you deal with other FMOs. So it's all of that was kind of built for. You seem to be in the perfect spot right now to be able to, because you understand all of those roles so much.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, being out in the field was helpful. It was certainly a journey. I can empathize with agents when they talk about, you know, being in the field and the windshield time and, you know, all that. I mean, I know what it's like to just eat while you're in the car and, you know, you're going from one appointment to the next appointment. But gosh, I think that one of the things that probably stuck with me the most was just that entire population of seniors and how uninformed they are about their benefits. And, you know, you just don't realize sometimes how some people live. And, you know, I've been in homes where, you know, I didn't want to breathe the air, or I sat on the tip of the couch, or I said, you know what, let's just sit out on the front porch and talk about this. So, you know, and then I also learned that sometimes I was the only person that sometimes those people saw. And so, you know, you learn to empathize. And I never really thought of that part of it as selling. But more educating people on what their benefits were and, you know, what they had access to and, you know, helping people qualify for Medicaid and now LIS. And so, I mean, there's there's a lot of it that I never really felt like a salesperson, but more of an educator or, you know, somebody that helps them to get active.
Really an advocate. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I can see you loving that part of, you know, being in the clients' homes, where regardless of what the home is like, I bet they fell in love with you. You probably fell in love with that generation and that type of customer. But was that hard to get used to, or did you always kind of gravitate toward the senior side?
You know, I love the senior side of it. You know, coming home with a sack full of vegetables and, you know, I don't know. I've been on the provider services side. I worked in that, and you know, but really, my heart was probably always with the seniors.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of what you and I get to do now too. Is we may not talk to the seniors directly anymore, but we're talking to the people who are setting up the plans for.
Yes.
So I think we always do a big sales meeting, you know, the kick of AEP, and every month we look back and kind of do a recount. And we never, on our side, our career side, touches the clients, but our side, we never do. We work with brokers who, independent agents, go on and talk to their clients, but clients never call here. But we always talk about them. We always paint the picture of who they are, what they're doing, what that U-card meant, or what that savings of $15 a month meant. And because I just think it's important that otherwise we're just going to kind of get lost in AEP and numbers and stats and acronyms. And then really, what are we doing? I mean, that's not going to be as fulfilling as understanding the end results. And we're lucky to have the career shop here. We'll get Clint or somebody to come over and share stories about the client still and share stories about what this particular product did or what this particular technology did. You know, we saw so many changes through COVID too, of agents and how they had to pivot to meet their customer and what that meant to the customer. Because again, not to get going too much on COVID and all of that, but if you remember, there was a lot of businesses that couldn't reach their client in any way, shape, or form. So if we were able to, you know, what a wonderful thing that was that our clients could still get a hold of us. So I can see you very much loving that part of the job of being with the seniors and talking with the clients and making a difference and seeing what this particular product you were there to talk about, how that ended up. So since the beginning days, has it always been the senior side? Because you and I met through United, right? I think it was the first time.
Yeah.
First introduction was when you were working for United, and
we just rolled out the broker program.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So that goes way back.
It goes way back. Yeah. So when I was at United, I think 2004, I think, was when they originally came to us.
Yeah.
It was Pacificare at the time.
Yeah.
So and they came to us and they said, you know what, we're gonna let agents sell our product. And we were like, what? You know, because we'd been captive for so long. And you know, they brought me in on a Friday afternoon and said, hey, we're gonna do this, and we need somebody to help train agents on how to sell this and how to sell compliantly. And so at first I thought it was a joke. I thought, are you guys trying to get rid of me, or, you know, what's going on here? And so they said, yeah, can you think about it over the weekend and then let us know, because we really got to find somebody that we want to put into
it over the weekend. You have to let
it. And so, yeah, and then career change. And so I went back and I talked to my father-in-law, and he said, wait a second. So you're saying that I could sell one of those plants, you know, because before he could only sell one set. And I said, that's what they're saying. Yeah. Yeah. That you'll be able to sell. And he said, oh, Shanna, you know, you've got to do that. And so, I mean, here we are years later, you know, and it's been a wild ride. I mean, I remember, you know, working with Don Rutherford. He was one of my mentors. And I remember all of the contracts coming in for all of you guys, you know, McNerney. Cutler, Medicare Advantage specialists. I mean, everybody around, you know, the nation. And, you know, they thought, oh, well, we'll write, you know, we'll be lucky if we can write 15,000 of these. And craziness, they did. We did three times that. And yeah.
Well, so, I mean, do you remember when PacifiCare first came to us in 2004? The Medicare Advantage and Medicare Complete, that was fine. What they were really excited about was the PDP.
Yeah.
I heard this new product that you're going to take to every senior, and every senior is going to want this product, and it's going to be a drug plan. We've never had a, you know, a national care or a drug plan. Everybody was going to, you know, be able to build a private island on all the money they were making from PDP.
Yeah.
And then the Medicare Advantage was kind of it was fun to talk about, but it was kind of over to the side. It was all about the PDP, I remember.
PDP and then private fee for service. Yeah.
Private fee for service. Yes. Haven't heard those words in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember we had to pay out commissions manually. So, I mean, back at United, I mean, you know, that was all manual process. I mean, training and compliance was all a manual process. I mean, I was up there on Sunday nights making copies of Medicare handbook, putting them into notebooks. We didn't have online training. Yeah, it was all.
Do you remember the certification process?
Yes.
It had to be face-to-face.
Yeah,
we were flying. We were driving and flying all over the country. We'd have, you know, groups of 30 to 300, whatever, depending on the location of agents. You had to read them the questions.
Yes.
They had a test just like we're in third grade. They had to answer their paper, and then they had to turn in their paper.
Yeah.
We had to fly that back to our office. So we would ship that back because we were going on to the next location. So Mary, here in our office, she'd go through and grade them. Amazingly, most of our agents always passed. So she'd go through and literally physically grade them, box them back up, ship them to United Healthcare with a score that says, you know, Joe agent got passed with an 87 or Sally passed with a 94. We tell that to our staff now. Yeah, you were then that you were the one that got them. Yeah. We tell that to our staff now and they just look at us like we've got to be making that story up. There's no way that could have actually happened.
This way.
Yeah. There is no online, they complain about how difficult or time consuming the online training is, and
oh my goodness. They have to
worry. Right? Funny stories. I was talking with somebody yesterday that I've known almost as long as I've known you, and we were just talking about you forget about because you know kind of linked some of the past in the past, but think about how did we even run an FMO back then. There was, you know, email was just getting started, but it wasn't anything that was constantly being checked 1,000 times a day. Definitely.
And the applications were getting faxed in.
Oh, the fax machine.
Hundreds and hundreds of applications being faxed in front and back, you know, agents.
The poor fax.
To be there till midnight on cutoff day, you know, to make sure that all the apps came in and that we could page them together and process them.
I always tell the story to our staff that what I remembered in the beginning days of how I could tell if we were having a good AEP or not was how many times during the weekend I would have to come in and take all the papers off the fax tray, because after that tray gets so many papers, it stops printing. Mm-hmm. So then you'd have to take those off, and then more apps would spit through. So the more times I had to come in the office and take those papers off the tray, I'm like, yes, we're having a great AEP. And now I don't even know, Shanna. It's like, oh,
I know, we don't know
where. I can't see the physical apps anymore. So it's always funny to think about the fun days and how, you know, so much has changed, but really, you know, it hasn't changed too. Like so much of the things that we do, the why we do it, the mechanisms have changed, but everything else is, you know, it's blocking and tackling. It's all the basics. So,
yeah.
So you're at United Healthcare, you're selling, then you're more on the carrier side with FMOs like ourselves.
Yep.
Was it the jump to Shep? Was that the first FMO office?
No, there was a short stint with a partner that was underneath Shep.
Okay.
Yep. And so that was about for 2 years, and then Shep contacted me and said, you know, hey, you know, somebody called him a dinosaur, and he said they said that I need to get into the I need to like up my game. Then you go out.
And back then, that would have been.
That was 2010.
Oh, 2010. Okay. When you went to work for Chef?
Or 2009. Maybe 2009.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's pretend there's somebody listening that doesn't know Shep Kettler or hasn't ever heard tell about Shep Kettler. Describe Shep Kettler in 3 minutes or less.
Bright suit, pocket full of mini bottles, can pull out the red nose and tell a clown joke in a moment's notice, and love to do magic tricks.
Yeah.
Quite the sales guy, but just such a great heart. I remember when he called me and he said, I'd like for you to come to Columbia and, you know, let's just sit down and talk. And he said, you fly over here, you stay at my house. Oh, and, and I was like, I don't know you. And he said, here, I'm going to give you my Amex number here. Write this number down. And you just put it all on the card. And I said, are you kidding me? Really?
And I made an outfit or two.
I was like, okay. But anyway, so I went. And it was probably five of the best years that I've ever spent in this business. Yeah,
just sure. One of the words, there's so many words, but genuine comes to my mind. I've never met somebody who has such a talent of always the center of attention, like no matter what room, whether he's in church or a conference or airport, out to dinner, whatever, everybody wanted to sit next to him. He's a magnet, right? That type of personality. So you would think somebody that sees that many people and meets that many people in his life, he'd forget names names wouldn't even be important. He was so good at remembering people's names. My husband still laughs to this day or marvels to this day about I don't even remember the story. He was working in retail at the time, my husband was, and Shep was asking him all these questions, and he told him a story, just a story about the store that day. It wasn't even a meaningful or impactful story in any way. Just a story that he was telling Shep. For the next, 3 years, Mark would see him like maybe once, maybe twice a year. And he remembered that. He remembered his name and he remembered that story and he would ask for an update. And I'm like, we're all just like, he was one of 1,000 people that Shep talked to that day.
Yeah.
But he was just so good at, because he was just so genuine. He truly, when he talked to somebody, he truly cared what they were saying, who they were. He came across as silly and magician and always drinking, and that was kind of the persona. But man, you peel back some of those layers, and just one of the most big-hearted, genuine.
And smart.
Yes, that was a good trick too.
And he wanted everyone to succeed.
Yeah,
really. I mean, he wanted everyone to succeed. You know, and he didn't really care how much it cost him. Sometimes in order to do that. I mean, yeah, I remember our last AEP event, he decided that he was going to give away a Mercedes for a year, a lease on a Mercedes. And we thought, Shep, you're going to lose money on this deal. And he's like, I don't care. You know, he didn't. Because he wanted whoever to have that feeling of success and to be able to drive the Mercedes. And he didn't care if he lost money on the deal or not. He wanted that person to be able to have that feeling.
Very true.
Oh, he and Joni became like parents to me. You know, mine opened on. So it was hard when he passed.
What year was it that he passed?
2014.
It was 14. Okay.
April. He passed away on April 1st. On April Fool's Day.
Very fitting.
2014. Yeah.
At his funeral, I remember Joni asked and everybody obliged by most of the guys coming in either bright colored suits to him. Joni even let into his closet. And
yes.
So there were ties and jackets of every color there. And so many people wanted to speak and came to see him. But yeah, what a true testament. I love that you said he wanted everybody to succeed, because you don't usually somebody that's of the stature that he was, very successful businessman, very influential in politics as well. He was involved in politics. He and Joni started a school. They didn't just take their money and buy more Mercedes. You know, right. The fact that, like you just said, it was more fun for him to give away a Mercedes to watch somebody who had never driven something like that before than for him to sock it away and buy an even fancier car someday.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Joni will say that, you know, she's probably built a wing over at the SPCA, you know, with all the animals and, you know, because they very much, you know, love animals and just so giving.
Well, so I always try to think, you know, to honor somebody like that, do you think about, because I don't want Shep's life, and I know it hasn't, but what's somebody listening that didn't even know Shep, or somebody that maybe has heard the Shep stories over the years, what could we all do to just make sure we're honoring him, like enjoy life more, be more giving, like what kind of thing that you would say?
I would definitely say enjoy life more. Shep very much, you know, he was the life of the party wherever we went. You know, he wanted to ensure that, you know, that everyone had fun. I'll never forget, we were in Houston for a meeting. We had a driver. We'd gone to like four different places around town, and we got to the restaurant, and what was it? The Palm. I think it's the Palm in Houston. And we got there, and our driver let us off, and Shep said, oh, you know, he was going to let us off. And Shep said, no, let's just go find a parking space. And he said, no, sir, I'll let you off. And Shep said, no, let's go find a parking space. So we went, we found a parking space. He parked, and he was like, okay, I'll let you out here. And he said, no, sir. He said, you're coming with us. And so he came in and ate dinner with us. And, you know, that's just how he was. And, you know, and it didn't matter where we were, if we were on the airplane, the flight attendants, I mean, he was a mess. He was, you know, he was an Energizer bunny, and I was much younger than he was by about 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And he was hard to keep up with.
Could not keep up with. What a great story. I think that's a good takeaway too, because I've seen him in those environments where, you know, they say you can learn a lot about a person by how they treat somebody that has no bearing on your day, right? So the server, the driver, the person picking up the trash, somebody that you think is not impacting my life in any way, it's how you treat those people. And I think Shep could probably give a master class on that, because we saw it, you know, just as an audience for me. You were always obviously much closer, but for me, just to watch was just it's like a show. Like to watch them in action.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, people would pay money to watch that show. He was just the most gregarious, generous, engaging. I guess that's another good word for Shep, because it didn't matter if you knew him or not, he was bringing you in, you know? So I think those are good things that, if nobody could emulate or be a copycat of Shep, but man, if we could take those little pieces, right, and be better humans, which is, you know, I think what we're all after here. Not, you know, we didn't say one thing about insurance, right, in that whole conversation about Shep. Obviously, very successful. Obviously, built a good following. Obviously, built a good FMO and a good company, and had great employees. But the things that we're all talking about have nothing to do with that. And that's the biggest takeaway of just the impact he had on people. Didn't matter who, where, when, how old, how young, it didn't matter.
I would say, and you know, he and Don Rutherford, they were best friends. And, you know, I've got a picture. We did a tailgate at a South Carolina game 1 year. And, you know, there those two were, sharp dressed, you know, we're at a football game, and it's hot, and, you know, they're both out there with their jackets, and, you know, and just, you know, they're both sitting on a chair, just leaned over. You can tell, I just, you know, what was that conversation, you know, that they were in that moment. And I've got that photo and I'm just like, man, you know.
I'd be one of those would be fun to put out to people to caption this photo.
Yeah.
Probably got lots of good responses.
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, for myself, you know, I've been very fortunate and that I had those two individuals, that I had the ability and the opportunity, to work with, you know, and Don told me very early on, he said, you know, now you're a woman, you know, you're a woman and you know, you can't cry. Don't let them see you cry, because if you cry, you know, then they're just going to think they can stoop all over you. So you got to toughen up, you know, and
that's very Dawn.
I did. I had to toughen up because I was, you know, I'm a weepy sometimes. It was great. It was a great time.
Where we've both been very lucky that very early on in our career, we found people like that, the Dawns, the Sheps, the Dan McNerney for me, as well, to kind of tie our kite to, if you will. But have you had other mentors along the way or other people in your life yet or out of the business that have meant something to you or kind of shown you the path?
You know, I would, you know, I think that probably my mom, what, you know, she passed away at age 50 of breast cancer. I was at the time, but the thing that I remember most about her is that, you know, she grew up on a farm and she knew hard work and, you know, but there was something very prissy about her. She was like 5'4". She wore like a size 6 shoe, you know, she was little and prissy. And, you know, my dad was 6'4", you know, big, tall guy. And, but, you know, she had us out there at an early age, you know, teaching us how to mow the yard. Now, my dad wasn't mowing the yard. My mom was mowing the yard. So, you know, and this was before the mower had a bag on it. You know, that was, you were really, you know, getting high up if you had the mower that had the bag. And so it was like mowing and then raking and then putting it into the, you know, putting the shavings into the bag. And, you know, she used to build shelves and saws and she sewed. And, you know, I learned so much from her that, I mean, even today, you know, it's for me, I love to be out in the yard. I love to garden. I love to power wash.
Isn't that so satisfying?
Oh, it's so satisfying to power wash. Right now, I'm addicted to blowing leaves. So I'm out every day blowing leaves, set them on fire. You know, my kids are like, okay, you're getting a little crazy with the torch, Mom.
That's it, put the torch.
But yeah, I mean, but she taught me hard work.
Yeah.
And she taught me to be strong. She was, you know, she taught us how, you know, when we were little, I mean, I learned how to make cheese toast and cinnamon toast and scrambled eggs and, you know, all those things that, and make your bed. You know, I had to make my bed every day. And, you know, there's something for that
there's
to be
said, time.
You know, make your bed every day. And, so I would think that she, and then she was such a fighter, you know, she was a fighter when she was sick. She was diagnosed my junior year of high school and, you know, underwent a double mastectomy and, you know, just all the things, but, you know, was really a fighter until she took her last breath. And, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh. Yeah, moms, I would say, you know, whether I lost my mom to cancer as well. I was older. I was 37, I think. But I was telling a friend that I don't think it matters how old you are when you lose your mom. It's your world changes. And
yeah.
There's so many times that now being a mom, she got to meet all of my children. She got to meet all of her grandchildren. And now they're having children, which is, you know, I can't help but look at them and think, oh my gosh, my mom would love this. My mom would have loved Facebook. Like she was a very, and that came after she passed. you know, she was always very social, always very connected, always wanting to, you know, she was our newspaper. I didn't have to read the paper, our local paper. She told me who everybody was when everybody was coming to see and how the kids were doing over here at this neighbor's house and that neighbor's house. She loved, I just, every time I think about Facebook, I think, my God, my mom would have loved that part of technology. So to not have her experience that was, you know, it's still tough to this day, and it's been 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard. I wish that she would have gotten to meet her grandkids. And then, you know, now obviously, you know, the loss of Daryl, he's been gone 4 years.
Wow.
So, you know, and I've got two grandchildren now. And so it's hard because I just think, gosh, you know, we looked forward to that day, to that time, you know, when he wanted to be a papa, and, you know, and for him to not be here and to get to see or to meet Kaylin and Miles, and then, you know, Avery and Tanner, when they have theirs, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
So cancer has been a big part of your life, unfortunately, it sounds like, through
yep.
mom and Jeff.
My mom, my dad, my husband, yeah. Grandfather. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that that's super hard. So kind of walk me through, what did that do anything? Because that's the world that we live in, right? That's we sell cancer insurance. Is that, has the pain that you were forced to go through with your own family due to cancer, what has that done to you from a business standpoint? Probably just fighting.
You know, I think that I'm very passionate about it. You know, and I think, you know, without trying to get on a, you know, you don't want to get on a soapbox. But I try to nicely project, you know, to the agents that we talk to, you know, don't be a one and doneer. Don't be that agent that's just going into the house and selling the one app and then never going back. Because I mean, realistically, you know, if we were all in a room and you said, okay, how many people know someone who has cancer? I mean, the hands are going to fly up, right? So, I mean, right now we're in Breast Cancer Awareness Month. 1 in 8 women are going to be diagnosed with cancer. So someone that we know is going to be diagnosed with cancer. Do you want to really be the insurance agent that didn't want to bring up cancer when you were in that home? Right. And then that's my other thing is, well, you know, a lot of these people, they don't have money. Well, you don't necessarily know what they have or what they want to spend that money on.
How were you coming to that decision? Like, did you look?
Yeah, because I can tell you that I've been in homes where I thought the people didn't have money and they had money.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
They had money.
Yep. It's just where they choose to put it.
It is.
A lot of times it's not the house. It's not the car. It's not the clothes. So
right.
Look as if they don't. No, it's a very good point.
Well, and I thought, you know, Shep didn't have cancer insurance.
Yeah.
And then my mom and dad, my dad was self-employed. So at the point when my mother got sick, we didn't have health insurance. So you try to explain to an agent or really even to someone who does have insurance, you right. say, it's really not about what the insurance is going to cover. It's going to be about what it doesn't cover.
Right.
And so I am very passionate about it.
Oh,
and it's hard when you try to talk to folks and they don't want to pay for it. I mean, I'm insurance poor. I've got so much insurance, you know.
Yeah, a lot of insurance.
A lot of insurance. I'm not going to be the one, you know, because I don't want my children to have to go through that. I don't want them to have to worry about it.
Yeah, the story.
Because that's who it falls on.
Yeah, absolutely. The story I always share about my mom and going through her treatment, my very best friend. At the time my mom was diagnosed, her mother was also diagnosed. Well, my mom was past 65. She was 69 when she was diagnosed. So she was on Medicare, Plan F at the time, and had a cancer policy. And my friend's mom was still like 62 or something. So she was on a group health plan. So she chose the bare bones, you know, benefits to get her premium as low and had no cancer insurance. So it was sad kind of comparing those two stories because my mom and dad were farmers. They had, you know, no money. They were one of those clients. It was all in the farm, right? Every dime they made, they put back into the farm. So, but everything that came up with my mom's treatment, from a doctor suggesting something to us asking about it, there was never a question of money, right? Between her MedSup and her cancer plan, we could have taken her anywhere. We could have done any kind of treatment. We could have tried any kind of medication. Meanwhile, my friend is over here trying to juggle cancer treatment plus financial assistance and making decisions about her mom's care based on finance versus let's do whatever the heck we can do to get mom better. Let's try everything. Let's go here. Let's look at that. And so it's just, again, it has nothing to do with where your finances are when you go into a situation like that, but what that cancer plan is going to come in and help pay for. Because the hospital she was in was 5.5 hours from me, 2 hours from my brother, 3.5 hours from my dad from home. So everybody's trying to, you know, juggle and that kind of stuff, the money never came in to play. And that's what you want to have happen is when, God forbid, somebody's diagnosed, the last thing on earth you want to be thinking about is how are we going to pay for this? Or let's not go there because that would cost too much money in hotels and meals.
Right.
Yes. You know, you don't want somebody thinking about that when it comes to your care.
Yeah. You know, we lost Janet Frederick in our office.
Last
December.
Yeah.
Again, breast cancer. So I think from the time that she was diagnosed, it was 2 years. Okay. So she was diagnosed with triple negative metastatic breast cancer. And, you know, she went really through it all, you know, all different types of treatments and everything. But and she had great insurance. You know, her husband worked for Honda and they had great insurance. And that she had a skin cancer before. So she, you know, because we kept thinking, we need to get a cancer. You need to get a cancer plan. And it was too late, you know, because the skin cancer, the look back period was too short. And it wasn't until just recently that Scott told me that, you know, even as good as their insurance was, that there were times when, you know, they were there for the treatment and they would say, well, you know, this treatment is going to be X amount of dollars. And so you've already hit the maximum. And so, you know, how are you going to pay for today? And he said, you know, she didn't know that because she was over there getting her cold cap on and, you know, all the stuff. And he said, and I didn't want to be the asshole saying, well, I haven't paid for it, you know, and he said, so, you know, it's like, look, I'm going to pay you $50 today and we're going to get the treatment and we'll work out the rest. And it's hard, because people don't realize what can happen.
So in all that you've gone through, Shanna, where do you go? Like, what's your source of inspiration? Because you have to be on, right? Most of the time, your mom, grandma, your boss, managing partner, you know, all the things that you juggle, the people need you to be the helper of them and pouring more, you know, positivity into them, whatever. Where do you go? Like, what's your solitude place or where do you go to fill that cup for you so that you can continue being Shanna?
Well, I'm a stuffer.
Yep.
I stuff things down. But I just, you know, obviously my faith, you have to believe, you know, I know that one day I'm going to see my mom, I'm going to see Daryl, I'm going to see my dad, I'm going to see my brother, you know, we'll be together again. But right now it's just a matter of, you know, I mean, I have to lead my family. I mean, I still have two. They're adults, but I mean, you know, one's in college and one's fixing to graduate from cosmetology school. And, you know, and then my daughter, she's 30, but she still needs me. She still needs her mom, you know? And so, you know, I just think I don't ever look at it as, you know, moving past or moving forward, but, you know, you have to keep going. And so you don't forget anything that's happened. I think everything that's happened has made me who I am today. And sometimes I think I've told you this before, you know, when we have our sisterhood meetings or whatever, you know, sometimes I feel a little bit callous, you know, when people complain about certain things, you know. You know, I've had a lot of loss, and, you know, Daryl was in the war. He was, you know, he was over in the war for 7 months, and then we had Kennedy. She was, you know, she was born over in Germany. We were in the hospital for a month with doctors who didn't speak English. We had to be medevaced back to the States. She and I lived in the hospital for 6 months. Then when we got out, you know, the Army couldn't decide what they were going to do with him. And so we lived in a room in someone's house that, you know, offered it to us from a church there in San Antonio. And we're given a car, you know, a little, because my car was still over in Germany. And, you know, I look at all of these things, and they really kind of make you who you are. Yeah. So when people complain about trivial things, it really just kind of, I'm just like, really? You know, is that all you got?
Right.
Is that all you got?
It's like a story.
Yeah. Let's sit down and have a little conversation.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I just think that you can either be the person who says, okay, well, this is everything that's happened to me, and this is why I can't do this. Or you're going to be the person that says, you know what? Yeah, that's happened, but I'm capable of doing more. And so let's just keep going. And I think that's just who I am. And I think I got that from my mom.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would have loved to have met her. She sounds super. But I think you're absolutely right. I think all the things that happen to us in our life is our life, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that happened to me, or why did that happen to me, or why me? That's a past. I heard a phrase yesterday. I'll see if I can get this right, and I'll try to clean it up a little bit. But it was somebody that was talking about all these bad things that have happened. And if you don't use those things for
right.
good, or to teach, or to model it, but her phrase was, you can turn poo into fertilizer. So in other words,
there you go. Yeah.
There's a lot of poo that's happening, you know, in life, and in certain days you feel like it's piling on. But if you're not utilizing that to make things better, which is what fertilizer does, then it was just all for naught. So I would think that.
Right.
The people that you've lost, the people that are still looking and watching and are so proud of you. So the way you carry yourself, the way you walk into a room, the way you carry on a conversation, you're always caring about somebody else. I just think that has to be because of all of those things, that all the mentors, all the losses, all the gains, all the wins. I mean, look around. I mean, you've had some amazing life stories too. And I think all of that is just, that's Shanna, right? It's not this happened, or why did that, or why did I go that path and this person went that path? I just think that there's so many people that look up to you and respect you, and whether they know your path or not, it doesn't matter, but it's because it all formed, you know, the you that you are today. So it's a huge compliment to you, because there are things that make us maybe take a step back or a step, like wondering, is this, am I in the right spot? Am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right path? But you just keep on keeping on.
That's all we can do, right?
The good testament. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just the last couple minutes that we have, we've talked about Shanna, the mom, and grandma, but walk everybody through a little bit where your kids are at now, and how those grandbabies are doing.
Oh my gosh. So Tanner is kind of in hiatus. He's working, and he's decided that he wants to go to electrician school. So he just turned 20.
Oh, yep. Good.
Nice. So he came home last semester and said, why am I having to sit through a class and learn about all this history when this is not what I'm going to do. And I said, hey, well, okay, let's figure it out.
That's my son.
Yeah. And then Avery is graduating from her esthetician school on November 9th. So she will be a licensed esthetician. So she's very excited about that. She's been
in Texas, or is she there?
No, she's here. Yeah, she's here. Yeah. And then Kennedy is married and with two children. So Halen just turned 3, and Miles was born in February. And they live in Frisco in Texas. So obviously she's just like, you know, when are you coming back here? Kind of a thing.
Oh, I could probably thinking that too. Yeah.
I do think that. I do think that. And then if you know anything about me, you know, when I bought this house 2 years ago that I'm in, you know, it came with a chicken and a chicken coop.
Oh, how are
And so my girlfriend, who's my real estate agent, thought it would be great to get me some chicks when I moved into the house. And then it became a whole thing. So now I'm a chicken mama.
You are.
And so I go out every day and let the girls out and get their eggs and
talk to them probably. Tell them.
I do. I talk to them. And I've got one that gets up on the fence every night and doesn't go back into the coop. So I have to go out every evening. Get her off the fence and take her inside and talk to her.
Wild one, always trying to escape. There's always one, right?
Yeah. And then I've got Sam, who's my golden doodle. And, you know, when we were in our office, he's the office, you know, dog. He loves everybody. And so loves going car rides. And yeah, so that my animals keep me busy.
What a fun life you have, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it fun to think about sometimes, like where we're at and not even the business side or anything like that, but just being able to sit here as two professional women who have put our family first all these years and have been able to raise a business as well as raise a family and have our dogs.
I look back and, you know, we all make mistakes, right? So it's not been perfect. I've made my mistakes along the way, but again, we get past them and work through them and try to come out on the other side better. And so, you know, one thing that I did notice, Kennedy sent me a picture, and it was a side-by-side picture of Avery when she was a baby and then of Miles. And if you have seen Avery, Avery is a mini-me of Daryl. Now to see Miles next to a baby picture, I'm like, he's gonna look like Daryl.
You're gonna have a little Daryl running around.
We'll see. So that's what I'm thinking.
That's awesome. Well, what a sweet story to end on, and I can't thank you enough, Shanna, for agreeing to come on here. I know it's a busy time for everybody, but
thank you.
We'll enjoy hearing your story and digging a little deeper into the Shanna archives and how fun it's been to watch you and be side by side in many cases with all the different events and activities we've got going on. But cheers to many, many more.
Cheers.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Dana. All right, I see you.